I have called my talk in honor of my dear sister, Beginnings and an Ending. Elizabeth was the fourth child my parents had. She was my baby sister. I was 6 years old. This was a wonderful, wonderful event in my life. I wrote about this in a special book that I kept when I was six. It was not something I wrote at school. This was something I was inspired to write in my own time. It was very important to me. It deserved my own time and effort, not teacher inspiration. I'd like to read a little bit of it to you today. One sunny November, when I woke up, I found Dad in our room with a grand old smile on. He said, "I have some good news to tell you." And because Mum was not here, we all started to ask where she was. And so Dad said, "Guess." We had to think. I said, "Is she going into town to get me a doll?" Then I said, "She must be away to see Father Christmas." "No," said Dad, "but now I will tell you. Mum has gone to the hospital to get a baby." So much for our sex education. We were thrilled to hear this and jumped for joy. After breakfast, we went to school, and when we came home from school, Ross, our brother, said he had seen the baby and she had Shiny's hair. We all laughed at that. And when we'd finished school, we went and saw the tiny baby. She seemed so pretty that I nearly said, "Could we take her home?" But anyway, she was to be taken home in 10 days. The days flew by and Saturday came. We were all dressed in good clothes. And that is true. I remember saying to my father, "Can I please wear my very best pink silk dress?" It seemed appropriate for this grand occasion. And when we got home, the baby was fast asleep. So Mum put her to bed and we gave her kisses. I have many memories of Elizabeth's early life. We lived in a small coal mining town called Kaitangata, and there was a black track that ran behind the houses, and I pushed her up and down there very faithfully after school and felt very important. I also felt a fierce protection towards her, so that when my friends suggested they could push her up and down the track, I would say, "Well, push her to there and back again, no further." I spoke to my brother Ross, and he said, "Please talk about her special relationship with our dog, Nip." This was really Murray's dog, but we all came to love her, and she won our hearts. Nip was the most long-suffering dog I've ever known. If he was running with Elizabeth and came panting behind her with his tongue hanging out, she literally rolled his tongue up and popped it in his mouth. And he let her do it. Whenever she went walking, he was always at her side and always between her and any danger like traffic or cars that could harm her. And in our adult life, I remember with deep gratefulness and thanks her concern for our mother's welfare, especially as she aged and needed more caring. My brother Ross and I lived in Christchurch near my mother, and Elizabeth was wonderful with her many visits, her many phone calls, and for me, she was the lifeline as I watched the sad decline of our mother. And in more recent times, I think of holidays that I have shared here in Melbourne, holidays in Christchurch, and a wonderful holiday that John and Elizabeth and I took on Fraser Island that was surely such a special time. I also remember her wonderful support of me when I had a bone tumour in my leg. She encouraged my partner Jack and I to visit, and when we got here, John and Elizabeth encouraged us to go camping in a tent. I had a huge brace and crutches, no problem. We went camping along the Great Ocean Road, and that was a very special time. Nothing stood in Elizabeth's way of encouraging us to do that. I'll always remember the sweetness of Elizabeth's stay with me when she was collecting her data for her PhD. We lived in my house in Christchurch. It was before she knew of her cancer. We shared many lovely evenings together and spent many times reminiscing on our childhood and times together. Elizabeth's courage through her cancer has been amazing and inspiring. Her example will live on. She has showed us the way to keep living life to the full in face of great odds. I want, though, to tell you of an ending. This was the last time I saw my sister alive, and this was in October. We had planned that I would visit many more times, and definitely that I would come in January. So when I was saying goodbye to her that time, I didn't think that would be my last time. Before I came in September, October, my minister in Christchurch, John Hunt, came to see me. Most of the time I cried, and most of the time he just listened to me. And then his voice changed and he said, "Joan, I want to give you words of comfort." And he told me how people whose lives are foreshortened will often say, "I have had a complete life." I found those words extremely comforting. When I left Elizabeth, I had to leave for my plane at 6:30 in the morning. I sat by Liz's bed, and we cried softly as we said goodbye. And then Elizabeth, in a very strong voice, said, "Joan, I want you to know I have had a complete life." I was filled with wonder and felt quite incredulous. Later, John said he had never heard Liz say that before. And today, I draw comfort from those words of Cahill Gibran. "And what is it to cease breathing, but to free the breath of its restless tides, that it may rise and expand and seek God unencumbered?" Thank you.